Dalad Tammuz, Sunday the 7th of July, Rabbi Sholom Twersky, Issa Hanor, Bosa Becholov. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored Le'il Nishmas, Rochel Freda, Aleha Sholom Bas, Yibodu Lechayim Tovim, Rabbi Eliezer Mordechai.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak here. This is chizik to see people taking time out of their schedule to come hear a shir, Dvar Halacha, Dvar Torah. When Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, they were a nation of slaves. They had been slaves for generations. They're a downtrodden nation. And Hashem was trying to give them a sales pitch why they should be interested in the Torah. So what do slaves want? Does he offer them freedom, riches? Hashem says, "Ve'atem tiyudim mleches koyhanim v'goy kadosh." He tells this nation that you will be for me a kingdom of ministers, a holy nation. And that speaks to us. Despite all the years of slavery in Mitzrayim, what speaks to us, what calls to our inner nature, is this call to be a holy nation to Hashem. So one of the things that the Torah stresses in terms of being an Am Kadosh, in terms of being a holy nation, is to be careful about what we eat. In Parshas Re'eh, the Torah says, because you are a holy people to Hashem your God, you should not cook a kid in its mother's milk. So that's a famous pasuk in the Torah. I just wanted to point out that the context of that pasuk is one that's enjoining us to be an Am Kadosh. Because you are a holy nation, therefore, you should be particular about what you eat. Not eating shreif, not eating basa b'chalav, that's part of what makes us an Am Kadosh. The Torah, in two other places, famously says that same exact pasuk of Leisavashel Gediba Chalev Imai. In Parshas Kisisa, in Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah says, "Reishis bikuri ad maspa tavi beis Hashem alekecha leisavashel gediba chalev imoy." And again, the Torah is telling us not to cook a kid in its mother's milk. So our sages understand that not only is the Torah telling us that you should not take a kid and cook it in its mother's milk, but any meat, which is kosher, cannot be cooked together in any kosher milk. Any behema that's kosher cannot be cooked in any milk. Why does the Torah tell us this same prohibition three times? So the Gemara and Chulin, Kuf Tezvav, it's very famous because Rashi quotes it. Tana, the Rabbi Shmuel Tana, that they taught in the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel, that the Braisa, Leisavashel, Gediba Chalev Imay, Sholosh Pa'amim. Why do I say it three times? Echa, Leisra Achila, The one says to tell you that you cannot eat it. The echad isra hana. And the second time teaches us that you cannot have benefit from it. The echad isra bishul. And the third time tells us that not only can you not eat it, not only can you not have any benefit from it, but also you're prohibited from cooking it. Right? You can't cook it. Even if it's not yours, you don't intend to eat it, but just the mere cooking is going to be prohibited. I believe in the Living Torah. In the Living Torah, when they translate Le'sevasha v'liba chaleid imai, so one place they translate it, don't cook, but also in another different place, it says don't eat. Do not eat the meat that's cooked in its mother's milk, right? Like Chazal say, because one of them is come to tell you that don't eat it, don't cook it, don't eat it, and don't have a benefit from it. Why then? If the Torah just means to tell you all three prohibitions, why does the Torah say Lo Yisavasha Gudi B'Chalei V'Imai? Why doesn't it say Lo Yisoichel, Lo Yisana? Why Lo Yisavasha? So the Rashba says, and it's brought down in the Torah Shulchan Aruch, that the reason why we're saying Lo Yisavashel is because mi the araisa, the iser, the prohibition of bishop of eating basa b'cholav, is only when they're cooked together. If they're not cooked together, there is no de araisa, there is no biblical prohibition of eating or having benefit from such a from such a mixture. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us that basa b'cholav, you can't learn anything from basa b'cholav because that is a chiddush. It is it's something unique that you don't find anywhere else in the Torah. So the Gemara tries to figure out what exactly is the nekuda, what's the point that makes basa b'cholav such a chiddush. So the Gemara says it's not merely that the combination of two heter things can combine to create iser, right? Because that's what it is, right? You're taking kosher meat, you're taking kosher milk, each of them by itself is 100% fine to eat, and yet when we combine them, when we cook them together, the combination creates, the fusion creates an iser. He says, but we find that things can be come together. By klayim, by shatnez, we find other isurim that have the same characteristics, that they come together and they create an iser. So the Gemara concludes that the chiddush of basa b'cholav is that even were you to soak the meat in the milk, and then the meat would have the taste of the milk, it would have the same taste as if it would have been cooked together, that's still not the iser Torah. The prohibition that the Torah says is only when it's cooked together. So that's, we have the Torah having a chiddush in basa b'cholav, that it only applies when it's cooked together. Now, as I said, it's not only the eating, it's also the cooking that is prohibited. So, if you have a coworker that brought their lunch and puts it in the toaster, and they tell you, you know what, I forgot to turn on the toaster. When you get to the cafeteria, could you just turn on the toaster and I'll cook my lunch? So if that worker, non-Jewish worker, had for lunch, they had some meat and cheese lasagna or something like that, it would be prohibited. You would be right. It would be usher to turn on the toaster because then you're cooking basa b'cholav. If someone's looking for a summer job, right? So they go to McDonald's. Right? They want to get a job as McDonald's. So they have a problem there, right? Because even if all of the people coming to McDonald's were goyim, right? So and it's fine for them to eat basa b'challah, but it's not fine for him to cook it, to make the cheeseburger. Now, you have to know exactly how they make the cheeseburgers in McDonald's, if there is actually bishul basa b'challah going on there. In other words, there are some technical details you have to know. For instance, we said that in order to have issa bishul basa b'challah, you have to have a meat that's from a kosher animal. You have to have the cheese that's from a milk from a kosher animal. So I think the cheese can only be made from kosher milk. Milk from an animal that's kosher. But as far as the meat is concerned, there, if you have, if what they're cooking, they're using for the hamburger is bacon or something, so then they're taking non-kosher meat from a non-kosher species, that wouldn't be iser, the iser daraisa of basa b'chalav, and that might be mutter. But if they're using hamburger beef, right, regular from a cow, so then you would have a problem of cooking it. Now, if you get out of the kitchen and you start waiting the tables, right, so cleaning tables is fine, but then you get the problems with serving the food because the customers coming in, if they're Jews, then you're saying that they are Avera. Maybe there's Lifnei Iver. Maybe not. Maybe you can consider that most of the people here in London are goyim. The people coming into the store, maybe all piroyim are goyim. But that they can evolve. Whether you say called the parish meruah parish, and you can assume that whoever's coming into the store is coming from the roiv goyim, or maybe you say kol kavu al mechsam kemesal dami, that if they're settling themselves into the store. So then it's like 50-50. Maybe they are Jews, maybe they're not. Maybe there's a difference between a drive-through and if they're sitting down. Anyway, it's someone needs. He knows, yeah, but you're serving. In other words, you're maybe listening to Iver. The Isser is, in other words, without you serving, you are bringing the Isser closer to him. Is he would be eating it if you're not serving it.
Then
someone
else would be serving it.
Yeah. So what? Yeah, someone else would. Okay, so Lifnei Iver, maybe Lifnei Iver is if he couldn't get it another way, but Mithin Misayev de Ebre Avera is even if he could get it, but you're helping him, you're bringing it closer to him. So then it can still possibly not have that Isser. Alright. Someone is strapped for cash and needed a summer job. Maybe McDonald's is not the best place to turn to it. Maybe have something safer, like feeding the lions at the zoo.
Kosher pizza store.
Very good, right.
The problem is people run franchises.
The what?
People run franchises at McDonald's.
What's that?
And I actually know some Jews that own franchises.
Oh, Jews that own it. Okay. That might be another issue, but they're not cooking it. But it might be another problem of having business from non-kosher meat. I was in Phoenix. One of the jobs I do is I'm part of the Vada Kashrus there. So oftentimes I do hashgacha for events in the kitchens. So there was once a time where I was working in the kitchen, it was a kosher event, and concurrently with the kosher event, it was also working, the chefs were also working on a non-kosher event, different part of the kitchen, different area, but they were working. So I was walking around, I wandered over to the area where they were cooking the non-kosher, and I noticed on the pot, on the stove, there was a pot that was bubbling, the chef had walked away. And it was frothing, it was bubbling. I saw a whisk there, so I gave it a stir. And as I was stirring, I froze. I have no idea what's in this pot. What am I doing? So the chef came back I asked him, what's in this pot? So he said, it's a beef stock. I said, tell me, in this beef stock, is there any dairy? So he's thinking, nope, no dairy. I said, you have no idea how happy you made me so I could hug you. So if you didn't think Jews were weird till now. So, right, you're not supposed to, it's usher to light a fire underneath the Gaisha pot because there might be a Sabbat as a Zahalav. I happened to get a fizi. I was lucky that time. But, the Isra of Bishul Bas B'Cholav might not come up often, but there are situations where where it still might apply.
What's the shear actually for how much basal does it have to be?
As long as the milk is not bottled to the meat, it will be Isra Bas B'Cholav. So it's going to be
because like the problem with yellow cheese is because there might be like some stomach part of the
that gets into another sugya with Davar HaMaimed. But let's say we're not talking about cheeses, which is
no, but then it would be basar and cholav as well, even just on the cheese part.
Right. There might be a problem there if it's but. In other words, you're talking about a very particular case where you're using the basar in order to create the cheese. What I was talking about the situation where we had a pot, right, and there's something cooking in the pot. So as long as there isn't shishim, as long as there isn't 60 times, right, the amount of milk to meat or meat to milk, which would create a bitul of the tam, so then there would be a problem. In other words, if there's a decent amount of ratio of milk to meat, there will be a problem with stirring. I'm not 100% sure.
You said that the only kosher meat is it basar.
So when I say kosher meat, I mean meat from a kosher animal. Not that the cow had to be shechted properly, right? As meat from a cow or meat from a goat, as opposed to meat from a pig. I'm not 100% sure that there would have been a problem. Let's say there would have been meat in that milk in that pot, right, with the beef stock. But it was already cooked at the time that I stirred it. So it could be that once it already was, right, the bas b'cholav was created already in the pot, then maybe stirring it is not would not be an issur, perhaps.
Shabbos stirring, isn't it?
Right.
Magus is a malach on Shabbos.
Magus, the Indian Shabbos, is still called Bishol, and I think the place can struggle to explain, you know, why that is. Right? But not necessarily does the Shabbos and Masbuchala have the same qualifications from Hagdara. The Isser. To have hana, to have benefit from the basa b'cholav, would mean that if you have a pet in Phoenix, a lot of people have dogs as pets. I don't know if so here, but if you have a pet dog and you buy dog food, and the dog food has basar b'cholav cooked together, so by feeding your dog, you would be having benefit, you would have hana from the basar b'cholav. So that would be usher.
Can you get him tied for the pie for meat?
So treif for meat is fine. You could have hana from treif, right? From the velus and treifus, you could have hana, right? You can't eat it yourself, but you can give it to your dog. The Torah says you should throw it to your dog, right? The Torah says give it to your dog, you can have a no.
It's only if you warm up the dog food.
So no, it depends how they created the dog food in the factory. If they created the dog food by cooking the milk and the meat together, right? Even though now it's cooled down, but it's still basar b'cholav. So you wouldn't have a problem with cooking, right? You're not reheating it. But you would have a problem by feeding it to your dog. You have anah, you're having pleasure from the basar b'chalav that's in that dog food that you're using now to feed your dog.
Isn't that like the same thing as stirring the pot? Because once it's done, you said you...
No. There, I was talking about the iser of cooking, right? Of bishul. So I said, maybe once it's cooked, it's cooked. It's done, it's done. Now we're moving on to talk about the separate aspect, right? No. That you can't eat it, you can't cook it, but you can't have a hanah, you can't have benefit from it as well either, right?
That's it kind of almost makes it impossible to buy for God anything that you don't know what the orange is of it.
You can't buy.
If you buy a commercial
gift,
cake, maybe that's
large
in there.
Give a gift to a food, because maybe it's possible for them.
Buy a gift for a guy?
Yeah.
Or from a guy? You could buy a lot of things that are for sure, they're definitely not basar b'chalav.
He's asking about basar b'chalav. You couldn't buy a gift of basar b'chalav.
You couldn't buy a gift of basar b'chalav. That's what you're saying.
A cake or anything that could have lard and butter like together, it would be basar b'chalav.
If it would be a question of having basar b'chalav, you wouldn't be able to buy it in order to give it to a guy. That is correct. Yeah.
So big.
I mean, if you look at the ingredients, right, and the ingredients don't have basar and challah together, or if the basar, like we said before, if the basar is pig meat, then there would be no problem.
Hmm? So lard is all right.
So if lard comes from pig, right? Yeah. But so then you have to know. Let's say your dog food has chicken instead of beef. Right, that would be fine, because the only problem with having hanav, having benefit, is only from pure biblical iser basar b'chalav. But if it's only right, if you're dealing with chicken, which is only it's only meat midrabanan, it's not really on a deraisa level, it's not meat at all. So there's no iser basar b'chalav. You can have hanav. I had a question, came across a question, someone called me a couple months ago. They're moving, they have movers, and he wants to buy them lunch. He wants to go to McDonald's, buy them a cheeseburger, and buy them lunch. Why? Because they're working for him. So, you know, just cars a toy, he wants to show them a goodwill. Can he buy them lunch from McDonald's? So, if he has to provide food for them, there's no question, right? That's not any different than feeding your dog. You have to provide food for your dog. That's hanah. You have to provide for your workers. If you have to provide for your workers, it's the same hanah, same question. So he says, nope. He does not have to provide them with food. He just was doing it with his own volition. Right. So can he do that or not?
Right. Still going to be a lot. Still going to derive from all. It's going to work nicer.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So, but is that considered hanah that they might possibly work better for him?
Can he give them money to buy himself?
If he gives them money, so then there's no question. They give them money, then they'll buy whatever they want. He wanted to provide them with lunch. All right. Okay. I mean, if he provided them with kosher food, it's also not an issue. Say, okay. Kosher food is more expensive. So, So can he do that? So I turn to another iser here, which is asur hana. Chametz on Pesach. That's asur b'hana. So Mechaber says in Taf Mem Gimel, Chametz mishei shoda solamayla b'yom medalit aser bana erev Shabbos comes, erev Pesach comes, right? Then the chametz already starts becoming aser bana. Even a chametz of a goy is aser bana. Any chametz wherever it is, it's aser bana. So really, it's the iser of chametz on Pesach, but it's Chazal made it a little earlier. So that you shouldn't come to be ever an iser daraisa. So what can you do then with chametz of what can you do with chametz on Pesach, or chametz after Pesach. So in Tav Mem Ches, the Mechaber says, "Also lahachil chemse bePesach afilu lebehemas acherim oishal hefker." It's also to feed your chametz on Pesach even to another's, a behemah of another or of hefker. You don't own the behemah; it's not your behemah. You don't have to feed it. Nonetheless, it's usur to feed your chametz to that animal. Why is that? So this is really your Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that, right? That you cannot feed your animal to your food, your chametz to another animal. So the question is it because by feeding the animal you have hana, you have pleasure, right? Just like people go to a petting zoo, they buy food in order to feed their animals. Why do they do that? It's not their animals. I don't know, it's a fun experience. There's some hana, there's some pleasure people get from feeding animals. So is that the reason? Or is it something particular to chametz on Pesach? Why? Because it says, V'lo ye'achel chametz. That chametz cannot be eaten. In other words, you cannot provide your chametz to a creature to be eaten on Pesach. So, if it's something, v'lo ye'achel chametz, in Issa, which is particular to the Israel chametz, so then we wouldn't be able to bring a raya, we wouldn't be able to bring a proof from here to our question of basa b'chala. Because just because you can't feed chametz to these animals doesn't mean you can't feed your basa b'chala to the animal. If, however, it's a pleasure, right? That just it's because chametz is asur b'hana. You can't have pleasure from chametz. So therefore, by basa b'chala also you can have pleasure, and that's considered pleasure. So that would seem to be a machloikas, how to understand between the Prima Gadim and Yitzvah Heta. Prima Gadim says that it's because of lo ye'achel chametz. It's an issur that's applicable to chametz particular. And the Yitzvah Heta says that, no, what the Yerushalmi means is that it's asur b'hana, it's asur to have any hana, and even hana of feeding a hefker animal. He goes further and he says, even if you were to throw the chametz, and there is no animal there, but an animal will come afterwards, that also is an issur. You're not feeding an animal, but the animal will be fed. Right? You'll have that pleasure, that's also considered pleasure. So he says, so what do? You throw it into a river, and the river, no one's going to eat it. Nothing's going to eat it.
Fish,
no burial. What about the fish? What about the fish in the river? Why won't they eat it? So there are some that understand that the Issa v'Heter is talking particularly about a nahar, about a river that does not have fish. But if it would have fish, then that'll be a problem. You can't throw it into... So he says, you can also throw it into the Beis HaKisei. There no one's going to have any pleasure, and no one's going to eat it, and nothing's going to...
Rats.
So,
The rats are the sewers. The rats.
Right, I guess. I don't know. Maybe you didn't have rats.
You find the sewer that doesn't have rats.
Just to get the Not
the wheel.
Can't buy the
chametz.
You can't buy animals.
You can't buy the chametz?
Yeah,
right. No. Yeah. Right. You can't buy the chametz. You found chametz. You have chametz in your house. You found. You discovered chametz. What do you do with it now?
Can we
put it in
water?
Yeah.
Not
in
the purpose.
Yeah. Right. So he's saying that you cannot get rid of it if. By getting, in a way, whereby getting rid of it, you'll be feeding creatures.
But it's not your personal interest to get rid of it. You have got the kavanah to give it to the fish.
Yeah, but the fish are going
to
have it. So the Mishabura takes, So the Mishabura, it seems to take a middle of the road approach. In other words, the Mishabura says that the problem is v'yeshle hana. That he has hana b'mashem ala ritzoyna las bila behema, that's what's going on here, that he has anav by feeding. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that if there is no animal there at the time, and animals are going to come later, then it'll be mutter. Right? So he says if you have a river, you can throw it into the river. Right? It's just if you have a fish pond, then you can't. In other words, if you have a fish pond in your backyard, so then you're throwing it in and the fish are right there, they're going to eat it, so that's a problem. But if you just throw it into a river and then sometime afterwards the fish are going to come eat it, that's fine. Either way, it seems to be clear from the Mishnah Berurah that if you have hana, if you're right from feeding the food to the animal, that it's going to be usher to do it with chametz on Pesach. And huadin, then the same thing would be true with our basar b'chalav. Then, if you have hana, right, you can't give it to an animal. If you can't give it an animal, you certainly can't give it to your workers, right? Because besides for feeding a creature, feeding animals, feeding humans, right, there you're certainly going to get hana because they're going to work better for you. You're going to ask them favors, right? So there it would certainly be prohibited to buy them McDonald's the cheese.